All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for tonight's fellowship. We praise you, Father, for all the work that you've done in each one of our lives. Lord, I know that there's some more work to be done. Looks like you've got a little delay here to get the bride ready, the complete bride ready. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. Father, we just come against these leftist confederacy that rising up against Trump. And Lord, we ask that you take George Soros down. We need to cast it down in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you send your angels out to confuse and to scatter them and to cause them to fight each other. And we ask, Lord, that you you confuse the challenges in court, the lawyers that are giving Trump people a hard time. We ask, Lord, that you give Trump people every advantage and that these things are come down as nothing. And Lord, we thank you for sending your hornet's nest in there to Democrats that are delaying Sessions' vote. And we thank you, Father, for that. And we ask, Lord, that you place it in everybody's heart to be praying for this administration that's up there right now. And Lord, we thank you that you're the one in charge, not the Democrats. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to bring down and expose the corruptness and hypocrisy in that Democratic Party in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for the work you're doing and the things that you're doing to make this country back, get it back on its feet again, Lord, and to establish statesmen up there at the Capitol and not these crooked politicians. And we praise you, Father, that you're cleaning house and you're draining the swamp up there. And I praise you for it, Lord. And I thank you that tonight we're going to have a joyful time with you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the praise reports and all the testimonies that are coming forth tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us tonight. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Put your fire upon our lips, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? What happened to Vanessa? Okay. Any testimonies? There's Vanessa. Hi, Vanessa. Okay, good. She can hear now. All right. All right. Anybody got a testimony or a praise report if you don't have anything to pray about? Go ahead, Jackie.
Now can you hear me? Sorry. I have a testimony. I've been sick for weeks with you guys had prayed for me a couple weeks back. Started at the beginning of the month with a head cold and became a chest cold, and the virus, and I was battling it, and it got really bad last week. On Friday, I decided to go get checked for it. So I went to the urgent care, and the doctor felt I had pneumonia and wanted to do an x-ray, and I was casting it down because I didn't receive that. I didn't feel like I had that. I felt I've had trouble in the past with asthma and breathing problems, and I thought maybe it was bronchitis or something. And anyway, he did a chest x-ray, and it showed what they term as atelectasis, which just means your lung is collapsed, and it was down in the base of my left lung, the lower part of my lung. And I was really sick. I wasn't feeling well at all. And so he gave me some medication and stuff, and I came home, and I called for prayer. And Michael commanded my lung to be inflated, and that the infection would go, and that I would be able to breathe okay, that my appetite would come back, and that I wouldn't have any side effects from the medication. And I had a follow-up appointment yesterday, which was only 2 days later. All the while I've been sick, I've been seeking the Lord, and he's sort of just been showing me to put my trust in what he's already done. And I got four different confirmations on the weekend about trusting Jesus. One, I have these little cards. I don't know if you can see this. I have these little cards on my refrigerator, all over my refrigerator with like little verses and stuff. And I closed my eyes one day and I said, Lord, just show me what you want to show me most of all. And I hit this one and it says, put your trust in Jesus. You couldn't be in better hands. And the verse is Psalm 32. Oh, Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. So I was seeking the Lord in healing and studying healing scriptures and just listening to what he was trying to say. And one teaching I listened to was exactly that, about let not your heart be troubled, like Jesus teaches about and taught about in John. And just trusting him. And then I had this confirmation of trust. And then there was another one. I don't know if I wrote it down because it was all happening so fast. I was trying to keep track, but my head was sort of swarming and it was hard to keep track of everything. I mean, look, my cousin, I called her on Sunday and I told her what was going on and I asked her to pray with me and just agree in prayer. And I said, please pray in the spirit, because Saturday night I was so sick. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to go back to the emergency room, and I thought, I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was just crying out to the Lord. I was sick though, and I didn't want to bother anybody in the middle of the night to call. And so the Lord gave me strength to endure, but it was really a bad night. So I asked Marlene, I said, just pray in the spirit, if you will, during the day, and just believe, with me that when I go for my checkup tomorrow, things will be okay and I'll feel better. And she did. And she had sent over a mug, which was my fourth confirmation. She had her husband bring me homemade hot chocolate in a mug that said, trust in the Lord, just to bless me. So I was blessed by that. And yesterday I went to the doctor and, she examined me and said my lungs were perfectly clear and there were no signs of a collapsed lung. And praise the Lord, she said there was no wheezing, there was nothing at all. So from Friday to Monday, the Lord inflated my lung, as Michael commanded, and everybody agreed in prayer. And I just praise him and thank him. My appetite came back today, and I've been eating all day long, and I am so full from eating so much. I did repent for overeating, and I'll try to watch it tomorrow, but it was nice to be able to eat food again and feel good about eating it. So that's my testimony. I praise God. It happened so quick, and I praise him for all the confirmations he gave me and his word about just no matter what I was going through, just to keep my eyes focused on the end result and to know that I would be okay, that I was going to be okay at the end. No matter what I felt, no matter what they spoke over me, no matter, if I got scared, I did battle fear a lot. I'm overcoming. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for Jackie's complete healing in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm just believing if you'll just, everybody stand with me. I've been praying for more strength just to get strength back because I've been pretty worn out. And so that's what I'm believing for. My appetite's back. Now I just need the strength.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for supernatural strength in Jackie's body in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you. We thank you also for Julie's complete healing too, Lord. We thank you, Father, that she is completely healed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Be healed, Julie. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all. God bless you all. I'm glad Amen. I finally got to see the baby.
Praise God. I love babies, don't y'all? I do love them. Praise what you God got, Julie? Do what, Jeremy?
The praise God for
some. Yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit, too. I started getting sick Friday evening, and it started coming on me just gradually, and I kept rebuking it and the virus, and I'd be okay, and I slept pretty well. And then Saturday, I was feeling kind of miserable, and over the week, and I slept so much and rested all over the weekend, and and went to work yesterday, and I kept battling a cough, just a nagging cough in my throat, and it wouldn't go, and I kept rebuking it, and I wasn't going to admit being sick or anything, and I kept rebuking and commanding it to go, and I'd asked for prayer from some brothers and sisters, and I know they prayed for me, and I was believing in that, and I was resting in that, and then last night I was talking to some brothers and sisters again, and they were standing in faith with me, and I was actually starting to feel better, and they told me that the four of them had gotten together, and they were praying for me, and at that time, it's like I felt the symptoms had alleviated, and I felt a lot better, and I was like, I am healed. I just felt that I felt much better, and I was healed. And I woke up this morning. I slept pretty well all night. I really slept soundly all night. But when I woke up this morning, I felt a real heaviness in my chest. And I couldn't quit coughing and congestion and all that. So I contacted work and told them I wasn't going to be in. I'm like, it's not worth it trying to go into work today. So, and then the Lord prompted me to reach out to Brother Michael. And so I texted him and asked him if he could call me when he had a chance and pray for me that I wasn't feeling well. So, and about an hour later, so he called me and he prayed and I went back to bed I was still in bed, but I stayed in bed all morning and throughout the day, by mid afternoon, I'd been in and out of sleep and I felt like getting up and I felt so much better around 2:30. Felt so much better. And the symptoms have tried to come back on me, but I kept rebuking them and they're gone. In Jesus' name, I am healed. They are gone. They have to go. They have to obey the word of God. We have authority over those evil works, chemtrail, crud, whatever it is.
Amen.
So yeah, I'm healed too. Praise the Lord.
Gotta
I'll be
go.
Back at work tomorrow.
Amen. I feel your pain, girl, about working. Okay, Judy. Can't hear you. I still can't hear you. You're not muted.
Oh.
Now I can hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I'd like to pray for my aunt and uncle, and I know I prayed for them before, but my uncle has stage 4 bladder cancer, and they started their treatments. And my aunt is 91 and has really severe, severe back pain. So I just told her that we'd pray again. And dear Heavenly Father, I want to lift my Aunt Zelma to you. I know that you've worked on her back before, but I'm asking you to completely heal it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Those evil spirits and demons have to go out of her back now. And my Uncle George, we don't want any of those demons of cancer in him either, Lord. And I didn't want him to have to go through all that, those dumb treatments, and make you sick, lose your hair, do all that stuff. So, Lord, I command those evil spirits of cancer to go in Jesus' name, and they are both healed. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for all that you're doing for them, because they are believers, and this will just take them over the top. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for a complete healing there in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Hi, David. Hi, Kim. All right. Anybody else? Testimony or praise report? Or just want to pray about something?
Yeah, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a couple of praise reports. my wife was kind of sick last week, had chills and felt real weak, and we prayed over her and cast the spirits out and stuff, and she's much better. Good as new, in fact. So praise the Lord for that. And the other praise report, our friend Tracy lost her phone the other day. We had kind of a snowstorm here. Got quite a bit of snow, and she couldn't find. We prayed over her and prayed that she'd find it, and I think it was, I don't know, six days. It was, she couldn't find it. The snow kind of melted some, and here it was laying in her driveway. And she'd been running, it was laying right in the track, and she'd been running it over it with her car. So when she picked it up, it looked okay. She tried using it, and everything worked. Nothing's wrong with it. And she took a picture of it where and it was laying right in the track. I don't know how many times she ran over it, but for sure she did run over it. So praise the Lord, she found it. Nothing wrong with it.
I wish somebody'd run over mine sometime. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, well, that's awesome. You know, about somebody running over something, I had a real good friend of mine many years back that he had a ton truck. And he got out there in it one morning and backed his truck up and heard his dog's squeal. And he'd run over his dog and just flattened that poor dog. And oh, it just broke his heart, broke Buddy's heart. And he was coming in and backed up to repark the truck, and he backed over that dog. It's a little old dog. And he went inside and he just asked the Lord, "Lord, why can you bring that dog back to me? I love that little old dog." And you know, the next morning he got outside. When he went outside, that dog was sitting there waiting at the door on him. The Lord had healed that dog. I mean, he'd squashed that dog. I mean, it was a mess, he said. But he said the Lord restored that dog because he wanted that dog back. Praise God. God's good, isn't he? Amen. That for telephones, you run over a telephone, that's generally it, ain't it, Marlon? That's generally history. That's a bona fide miracle there. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
You know, God is great, and I praise him because things like that have happened to me as well, and then to a lot to those that believe, right? We should cast all our cares upon the Lord. But I got to say, honestly, it's just not fair, right? Because I have a screen protector that we paid like $40. I put it in my pocket, and it's broke. There's no reason for it to vary. You know, you get the expensive cell phone cases, and they chip. You know, she can back over it over and over. There's nothing wrong with it. I can put it in my pocket. It's broke. I don't get it. It's just not fair. But praise God. Sorry, I just had a bet.
Yeah, I know. Amen. I think I'll try that. I think I'll put it behind my truck. No, better not. I just have to get another.
Just let me have it for a minute. I'll put it in my pocket.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, I have a testimony on the cell phone thing. I was boarding a plane to go up and see Chad and Charity this last summer, and I had my cell phone out. And so you can electronically have your ticket boarding pass on your phone. So that's what I had, and I was fumbling with it, going on the gate there onto the plane, and it was a hard surface. And I was fumbling with it, and I dropped it, and it dropped face down. Now I have a metal case on it, but it went face down, and I have the shield on there too. And somebody just said, "Uh-oh, it's broken." And I said, "No, it's not. No, it's not." I picked it up, not a scratch, not a mark, not a crack, nothing on the screen. I was praising God. So he can protect it. It slammed really hard. Everyone heard it. But it didn't crack the glass on it or anything. God is good.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anyone else? Boy, it's starting to smell good in here. I lit a candle a while ago. Smelling pretty good. Getting high on her Georgia pine. Go ahead, Julie. Or, I'm sorry, Jackie.
Thank you, David. I mean, Michael.
Touche.
I forgot part of my testimony. When I came out of the office, when I went in, it was snowing and really bitter cold. And when I came out, the sun was shining so bright. It was so warm, and I felt like the Lord was shining down on me. I drove up the highway, and I got to the red light, and I was just praising God for healing me. And I just felt so good and had so much faith, and I was just so full of joy. And I was praising him, and I was like, "Lord," I said, I kind of questioned. I was like, because I had been reading all these miraculous testimonies, and I wasn't getting mine, and I was getting discouraged for weeks. And I said, I believe I got my miracle. I believe you healed me, Lord. I believe I'm healed. And like, not saying I believe I'm healed, saying like, wow, I believe I'm healed. And I looked at the right lane in front of me. I was in the left lane, and in the right lane, there was a white car in front of me, and the license plate said Agape. And I had two little red hearts on it. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. That was such an awesome confirmation. So I wanted to share that part.
Amen. Cool. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen. It was awesome. Thanks.
Awesome. Okay, anyone else? Any testimonies or praise reports, or would like to pray about something?
I'll share one.
Okay.
There was a guy at work that I was really having a hard time with, and it was mostly when I stepped up for supervisor, he really didn't like it at all. So he was giving me a really hard time, really hard. He'd been there as long as I have, so he knew how to tweak the buttons. But I, you know, handled it well, but still it was a difficult situation. And then after I stepped down, then still there was this divide there. Not that I was trying to stay away from him too much, but he had a spirit about him that wasn't right. I know it's demonic, because he's chosen to run away from God and to do, you know, be very, upfront about that, you know, very, very caustic when it comes to talking about religion and religious things. So, recently, within the last week, we've been able to, work together, you know, and actually, the animosity's gone again, which is really nice. I mean, I pray the Lord would make things better between us. But more than anything, I was hoping more for an opportunity sometime just to talk about the real Jesus Christ and about the real salvation plan sometime with him, because he grew up Catholic, and then I'm not sure what all happened there, but it didn't turn out well in his life. And he's from Chicago, so he's got a real hard attitude about things. So anyways, it's been kind of a touch and go thing where, you know, we're able to work together, because sometimes we have to do things together to fix things. So it's been nice that's been dropped, where, you know, neither one of us feel threatened by each other anymore. That's gone, that atmosphere. And so the other day he was talking about, you know, a few things not going right with him as far as physical ailments go. And I said, well, Steve, you know, if you want to, I'll pray for you. We can pray together. And you know, he did that, you know, give me that eye, not doing that. But still, I'm just praying that the Lord will allow some time for this to, that to go away too, where we can openly talk about the Lord, and I can bring more of the kingdom light into his life. Just because I know I've only got maybe 3 or 4 months to do this with this guy, because he plans on retiring soon. And I, you know, I hate to see, well, I might be able to plant a seed. I'm not saying I have to be the one to bring him in the kingdom, but at least I just pray the Lord to allow that time to happen. So I guess we can pray about it and agree on it. Father, thank you for allowing this confrontational atmosphere to go away and bring peace between me and Steve Karbatowski. And Lord, I also ask that if it be your will, and if I'm the one, that more of these walls are able to fall, and we can talk about you openly, and I can bring the kingdom of salvation back into his midst, and maybe show him things that he wasn't aware of coming from a Catholic background, and make him desire to run after you. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Savior.
Amen. Amen. I'm trying to find that deal. Did everybody listen to the broadcast from Wednesday night for David? David's part of it. Sunday. David's on Sunday. When he talked about the thin bride, I think that was that yours, Gano? Yeah. Y'all remember that Gano shared part of her dream the other day. I believe it was here. Yeah, you shared it here. David talked about it, and one of the things that Gano had in her dream was a tall, skinny bride. And from what David got out of that was that the bride is getting close to being ready, but she hadn't fleshed out much yet. In other words, she's righteous, but everybody's not in there yet. Not everybody's not where they ought to be that God wants in the bride, that's going to have in the bride. And so what the Lord is telling us to do is, you know, just check yourself, make sure that you're right with the Lord and you're doing everything you know to do. And you'll be fine. You know, I think, mother used to tell me, or dad used to tell me, said, if a shoe fits, wear it. You know, if you're right with God and you're doing everything you know to do, then you're fine. It's those that are kind of apathetic about this, and they've heard it this, you know, they heard this time and time again, and how come we're not there yet? No, don't murmur. That's what happened to the Israelites out in the desert. And what happened to them? They never hit the promised land. So all we have to do is just keep up our walk with the Lord, keep doing the things that he wants us to do. So I just thought I'd kind of encourage you a little bit to stay focused on the Lord and don't get sidetracked by the world and the flesh. We'll be fine. Okay, anyone else? I do want to ask, how's the baby doing, Anna? And how you doing? And just kind of give us a little update on how everything's going, if you don't mind.
Everything's good. He's been smiling. He's sleeping right now. He's been smiling and holding up his head.
Awesome.
I had a good, really, really good labor. I had 9 hours, which I'm told is exceptionally well for a 9 ounce, 5 pound baby at home with no drugs and anything. 9 pound, 5 ounce.
Amen. That's a big old baby.
9 pound, 5 ounce baby. So I had a good labor. And I just realized today, too, when my midwife was, you know, talking to me about it, and she said, oh, well, average labor is 18 hours. It can go up to 24 or more. And I was like, Lord, 18 hours on average. Half that sounds good. I forgot about that till today, but that's exactly what I had. Is I had 9 hours and a half.
Awesome, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That baby's nice and healthy, and he's a good-looking baby, and don't look a thing like Matt. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. He does. Hello. Go ahead.
I guess a little testimony of what the Lord's done with, you know, our family. And mainly to do with the birth and Obadiah. There's two things that really stand out as what the Lord's done. And, of course, one of them I was believing for, and one of them Michael Hare was believing for. one of them was that, you know, I wanted to have a boy, you know, for our first. And when we first found out that Anna was pregnant, I didn't really care, you know, one way or the other, which one was going to have. And she asked me one time, she goes, you know, which one do you want, you know? So I just sat down there and thought about it for a while. I go, you know, I want a boy. So I'm going to start believing for a boy. So, and the Lord really, he really boosted my faith. That I got a boy, and but if you knew her family or my family, the firstborn, usually the first and secondborn, are only girls. Every one of my brothers and my father, her father, have all had firstborns were girls. And secondly, he was born with a head of hair. Now, Michael Hare was believing for that one. But if you knew anything about my family and her family, all of my brothers and sisters, first and second borns, were born bald. Her family, all her sisters, her parents, first couple, were born bald. So the first one being a boy with a full head of hair, and of course, very blessed to have Obadiah in our family.
Amen.
Lord, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for boosting my faith, Lord, for believing for a boy, even when all the odds were pointing against it, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for it. I praise you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that boy had a head of hair when he came out, I'm telling you. He looked good. All right. Anyone else? I'm trying to figure out what you're doing, Judy.
The baby, and they had her, he's on her lap, and the picture's all down here, so I was trying to get rid of the pictures. And
anyhow, oh, I see.
I still couldn't see the baby.
Okay. Well, just look, here it comes. That's the baby, right? There's Obadiah right there. Oh, ain't he sweet? Yeah, hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Future tractor driver there, boy. I can tell.
It's like he needs a haircut.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? So, if y'all would, keep praying about these nominations that are going through the Senate and the House, and praying against the opposition that they're getting up there. They're playing games up there and doing all kinds of stuff, trying to keep this from going through. But you, how many of you know God can do it? I mean, he got Trump in there against all the odds because of our praying. And we've seen a lot of miracles here recently because of our praying. And so if we keep on continually praying, we're going to see a smooth, a lot more smoother Congress up there than this knockdown drag out they're trying to have. You know, Democrats are just trying to play those political games. I tell you what I see. I see that the Democrats don't want Jeff Sessions in there. And this is just my opinion, but there's been a lot of political corruptness up there, and they may be a little bit apprehensive that he's going to expose some of it because he's been up there quite a while. He probably knows what's going on. So they're trying their best to keep him out of there. Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
You reminded me of something else I forgot to share last night. What's today's Tuesday? Last night I asked this question to the Lord. I said, Lord, show me in your word that you inflated my lung and this is purely your hand and you're trying to stretch my faith. And I flipped open my Bible and this is amazing. I got Luke 1:37. The version I was using, and it says, quote, for nothing is impossible with God. Amen. So when you were saying how many do you believe God can do that triggered my memory to share that. So thank you for the good word, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You got your hand raised, Matt. Go ahead, brother.
I did that probably about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. I got you now. All right, anyone else? Can anybody tell me what Arminianism is? Anybody know the definition of Arminianism, what it's called? Arminianism is what people in the theological world called free willers, people who believe that we have a free will to do anything that we want to do, you know. I can do anything I want to do. I can come to God or I cannot come to God, you know, if I don't want to. That's what a free willer is. Arminianism is the, that's what Arminianism is. Now, predestination folks, John Calvin was one. Martin Luther was one. It's the belief that God is the one. It's predestined. God is the one who chooses and draws people in to the kingdom. And we really don't have a free will until we have the nature and character of the Lord, right? That's when you get the free will. That's the only time you get free will. It's when you're walking like Jesus and you want to, and you're doing what God Almighty wants you to do every step of the way. Then you have free will, don't you? But until that time, it's actually you're using your flesh and you're using God. You're using flesh and you're going back and forth until you're walking that walk that God wants you to walk. In predestination, but God has called the things that are not as though they were, and that's why He has chosen us. And I just want that's just a little portrait of what it is. And does anybody else have a different explanation of that? In John chapter 15, in verse 16, let me turn the light on so I can see my word here. He said, ye did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that ye should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So it seems like when we came to Christ, when we first came, that we chose God, and that's how subtle God is. He draws us to him. Or with our old sin nature, we never would have picked him unless God had chosen us. Right? He said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. In fact, in verse 19, he said, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. You hear that? But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Not only did he choose us, but in effect, he didn't choose somebody else. He chose you. He chose us out of the world. Amen? It wasn't the will of man that caused us to come to Jesus. It was the will of God that caused us to come to Jesus. Anybody got any questions or any comments they'd like to add to that? God, the Bible said, tells us that God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he's been doing that since before our Christian beginning, he says in John chapter 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right. And that word right means authority. That's exousia. That's the Greek word is exousia, which means authority. Most of your Bible says right, but it's the word authority. To them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, you have to have authority to become a child of God, and it only comes from God, right? That authority only comes from God. And it's to everyone that believes on his name because faith is a gift of God, isn't it? He gives us the faith. He wants us to have the faith, but he gives us the faith to believe that that's what he wants. And it's a faith is a gift of God as well. Verse 13, who were born not of blood. In other words, we're not born into this like the Israelites were in the first covenant, born of the blood, but we were pulled in. We were chosen by God. Praise God. Not of the blood, but nor of the will of the flesh. There ain't nothing in our flesh that would cause us to come to God. How many of you know that? There ain't nothing in our flesh that's going to make us come to God. In fact, it's totally against anything of God our flesh is. It's got to be God that does it. Especially when most of us were totally bound up in sin most of the time. Well, we all were. The choice to come to God was not part of my flesh or your flesh. It came from God. God put that holy choice in us, an unholy person, to draw us to him. In Romans chapter 9, and you know, that Romans chapter 9 in the denominational world is avoided by most of them all the time because they don't understand it. They don't understand the spiritual aspect of it. They're trying to read it and understand it with all of those preconceived ideas that has been put in their brain. And if you just drop all of that garbage and just read what it says, it'll show you the truth. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "But it is not as though the word of God hath come to naught. For they are not all Israel that are of Israel." Well, we might say that about the church, right? Verse 7, "Neither because they are Abraham's seed are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." That is, it's not the children of the flesh that are the children of God, but the children of the promise, right? They're reckoned for the seed. We're free from the law of men, and we're free from the law of the Old Testament. Verse 9, again, it says, "For this is a world of promise. According to this season will I come, and Sarah shall have a son." Verse 10. "And not only so, but Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even by our father Isaac." Verse 11, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." To him that does what? Him that calleth. "And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." And before either one of them had done anything, right? That before they was even done anything, he told them, he said, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." And a lot of y'all probably have heard that. Excuse me, that Bible study of David's about God does hate. He does. He loves and he hates. You know, you've got these people out there say God is pure love. You know, there's no hate in him. Well, he says he hates sin many times, and he hated Esau right here. And why do you hate Esau? Because Esau put his flesh over and above the things of God. Anyway, getting back to Arminianism, God foreknows the future, and he predestines according to what he foreknows is going to happen in the future. Now, God already knows what's going to happen because he speaks the end from the beginning, doesn't he? And his faith holds to that. The same as us, same as we do in our faith walk. We speak the end from the beginning. Everybody that's been sick, they've already spoken the end. I'm healed from the beginning when you weren't healed. Calling those things that are not as though they were. I'm not working in perfect sinless life right now, but I'm striving. I'm still in the race, praise God. He speaks the end from the beginning. In Romans 8 and 29, he said, "For whom he foreknew, he foreordained." And that means who he knew before he foreordained, right? Before we were even thought of on this earth, he knew us. And you know, I don't know why God picked me. I don't know. You probably don't know why God picked you. And why didn't he pick some other poor soul out there, you know? I'm glad he did. Praise God, he did, you know. But there's going to be a lot of people out there that he didn't choose. There's a lot of them out there that he called that they didn't walk. They didn't walk the walk that he had for them, and they're not chosen because of it. But we'll get into that later. Right now, has anybody got any questions as to what Arminianism is and what predestination is? Or would like to add something to it? I just wanted to get that across tonight because I know in the past I've run across a fair amount of people who didn't really understand the differences. They thought we all had a free will. If you got a free will, a lot of times I preach this too. If you got a free will, get up and fly. You know, you don't have a free will. If you're locked up in a closet, how are you going to get out if you got a free will? That's not a free will. A free will is when you're walking like Jesus, okay? Y'all remember when he went through the crowd and they was ready to stone him and they couldn't stone him? That was a free will, wasn't it? He freely went to the cross, too. He could have, what did he tell him? He said, I could have called 12 legions of angels down here on you if I wanted to. But his will was the same as the Father's. And that's what he wants us to have. It's the same will as the Father's will. And when you have the same will as the Father, you have a free will. Any questions or any comments? Y'all help me out here now.
Don't they compare Arminianism to Calvinism a lot in order to see the contrast? They say they call it Calvinism mostly.
Not Arminianism. Calvinism is, let me get this right, David. Did you say that Calvinism is like Arminianism?
No, I think they...
They're opposites, aren't they?
Yeah, they talk differences between the two. Like, Arminianism yep. talks free will, mm-hmm. and whereas Calvinism does fall in line with the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
But Calvinists take it to the degree that, well, some, not all, I would say, but my understanding that, well, it's God's will anyway, so it doesn't matter whatever happens, it happens. They take it to the extreme, thinking that they're saved to a degree, I don't know, unconditional eternal security like, but they kind of edge on that, I think, sometimes. They're thinking they're a part of, they're saved, and it doesn't matter what they do in life anyways. God's going to save whoever he's going to save anyways.
Well, that's not what Calvin taught, but yeah, you're right. That's what they think Calvin taught. They thought that predestination means that I can kick back and I'm okay once I accept Christ, you know. I can kick back and unconditional eternal security pops in, you know. But that's, of course, as we all know, that's not right. That's not what the Word teaches. We just went through some scriptures there. So there is, David's got a great book out. It's called Salvation Instant and Progressive. And it talks about just exactly what you're talking about there, that we're saved, of course. Our spirit is saved upon salvation. But there's a walk that we have to walk after we get that salvation. In other words, our spirit's saved, but now we have to allow God to get our soul changed, because our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, and they're all messed up when we first come into the kingdom because we don't know how they're supposed to be. And then God starts teaching us. We start getting in the Word. As God starts cleaning our mind and our thinking up, and our will goes along with it. And let's see. I don't know what you mean about seeing the replays, Princess, but the audios will be replayed. Yes, they'll be on the outreach on UBM site. You can go back and listen to it again if you like. But Calvinism, he actually taught, you know, sovereignty of God too. So, but Baptists and some others got it all mixed up.
I think a princess would take the time to also listen to that, like you said, Salvation Instant and Progressive. Mm-hmm. And there's the other one, Christ in You. Is it? I'll find it in a minute. But yeah, there's a lot of good information out there.
Yeah, in fact, a little of it's in Solving God too, I think. So, but yeah, Calvinism, Martin Luther even taught predestination, you know. Okay, anyone else got a question or would like to comment on it?
I've got something, Michael.
Okay, Ken.
I always think of it as sin being bondage. So, you know, the more you sin, the less you are like Jesus, the less free you are. So, you know, that's the way I always see it. Sin is bondage. You know, that's what the Bible says. Can you hear me?
Well, I heard the last part of it. Did anybody hear what he said the first part? Yeah, it was. You had some distortion there, some kind of.
I think my microphone is not very good because you had trouble hearing me last time too.
Yeah.
I think I'll fix my microphone.
Yeah, maybe you can put it over closer to your mouth. I don't know what the deal is. It's actually a lot of distortion there.
I'll work on it.
Okay. All right.
It's the video feedback.
It's what?
It's the video feedback.
Oh, is that what it is?
Like, if it was just the audio, the video would be fine. But the video becomes choppy.
I've got a different microphone, and I'm going to hook it up and see if it works better.
Man, that thing's working fine now.
It's working good now?
Yeah, working good.
I'm just a little bit closer to it, but then you can't see me.
Okay. Yeah, go right ahead. How you doing, Willie? Okay, good deal. All right, while we're waiting on Ken, does anybody have any questions or they'd like to add something to what we're talking about here?
There's another good series called Called, Elect, and Predestined that covers this pretty well.
Predestination, Called, and Election, yeah.
Yep. Both are on the UDM website.
Yep, that's a good one. It's actually a real good one. It covers all of it. That was back in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken. I got an audio for it too. But I like that Salvation Instant Progressive because it really nails it as far as how we're to treat our salvation.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
They're pretty good now?
Yeah, real good.
Okay. Well, I was saying, I think of it as sin being bondage. And the less you're in sin, the more you're like Christ, and the more free you are. And that's easy for me to understand that way.
Well, that's a good way to say it. That puts it in a nutshell, doesn't it?
It does. I need nutshells.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, that's real good. Anybody else? What's the difference between the called and the elect or the chosen? Come on now, somebody help me out here now. Go ahead, Matt.
I've actually been reading that one a lot lately in their books and in the Bible. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. You know, God calls a lot of people, but only few actually you know, seek after the Lord, you know, get their heart right with the Lord and, you know, I'm stumbling here, but, you know, only the few that actually want to know the Lord and love the Lord and, be like Jesus, you know, see Jesus in that mirror.
The call will fall away eventually, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the chosen will stay with him.
Right. Election.
Election.
What's that, Marlon?
They say the chosen go on to bear the fruit of Jesus.
Amen. They go on to bear it 30, 60, and 100-fold, don't they? Amen. Not 29 and a half either. Praise God. Star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. We ought to be striving for the sun glory.
We're all shooting for the gold, right?
That's right. Shooting for the gold. Shooting for the sun. Walking in the steps of the sun. Praise God. You know, anybody know how to do that? Somebody tell me how to walk in the steps of Jesus. Do it by faith, don't we? Go ahead, Andrew.
It's love, of course. You need the agape in there too. Love never fails.
Yep. Your audio's
coming in to agree with Tom.
Are you in pain?
Having that behavior in you. The behavior is what you're going to take with you. This obedience, and you need it as a behavior, I think, to keep walking constantly. And it's obeying that the Lord is ministering this to you.
Your audio also
is. I can't hear you.
I say your audio is also squirrely at best. Maybe if you turn down the the gain on that thing. Turn it down to a little bit on it. Might be a little bit loud. I don't know. But it seems as though that the audio on some of those mics are not real good, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
Did you pray against the enemy for
Yep, go ahead.
Stop us.
Yep, go ahead, brother.
Lord, we come against this enemy, prince of the power of the air, and we cast him down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We bind him from stopping this communication with each other, Lord, and we command that the communication between one another will be clear. There won't be any problems anymore, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. We thank you for clarity in our communications, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew. We're going to hear you this time.
That was weird. Like, the whole screen just went off on mine, and then I just got it back again. Anyway. No, it's the agape love. It's the faith that worketh love, like it says in Galatians. And of course, the faith is to depend on that the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing you through this, because we get our faith from Him. You know, He's the package, I guess, that we have in us, and part of the gift we get from Him is faith, because it says so in the Word that we get faith from Him. We get our boldness, access, confidence, and faith from the Lord. That's in Ephesians also 3:3-12. And so it's the Lord actually giving us the ability to love Him. What we get from Him, we love Him back with it. And it's all through faith, of course, to have this love. Like it says in John, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. Does everyone still hear me?
Yep, you're doing good. Yeah, it's really good.
That's great. Anyway, I also, you know, you were talking about the bride earlier. Proverbs, this is the 31st. Proverbs, the 31, speaks about the husband there, of this woman. And if it's the husband, then someone's the bride or the wife here. And it's really got some nice things to say on what the bride would be like in those verses there in Proverbs 31. It's really nice. Anyway.
Amen. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, guys. God bless you.
You too. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share with us about Arminianism or predestination? Is anybody still foggy about which one is which and which one is biblical? We all understand that God is the one that chose us. We didn't choose God. I mean, I was out there. I know that. I mean, man, I was having a good time in the world. And, but then God, He'd been working in my life for a long time, and I'd just been ignoring it until finally one day, you know, He said, okay, I'm drawing you in. Here you come. I'm watching. Here you are, you know. And then He knew that once all of us, I'm sure, but once I came in, that my focus was going to be on Him and Him alone. From that point on, I had tunnel vision. I didn't know nothing but Jesus. People would come around to me, let's go drink a beer. I said, who are you talking to? I'm talking to you. We used to go out and drink all the time. Well, you're not talking to me. That guy's gone. He's dead. No, you ain't dead. You're standing right there in front of me. I said, nope, he's dead. I'm a new guy. I'm Jesus now. And you know, that's the way God wants us to be. God wants us to shun that other life. That life we had back then was not a life. That was, we were all in bondage and didn't know it. I know I was in bondage. And He sets us free a little bit at a time. Man, if we took it all at one time, if we knew everything all at once, we'd be stupid, wouldn't we? Not only would that, we'd be puffed up. And that's why He gives us a little bit here and a little bit there. You know, I know something, you know. You go in there. How many of you ever, when you first came in, it's kind of funny. They made me a teacher when I first came into the church. I said, what? Yeah, want me to be a teacher. Teaching their kids, for goodness sake. Of course, they had the little booklet that I had to go through, you know, the little Baptist booklet you go through when you teach your kids. But can you imagine somebody just coming into the kingdom, trusting your kids with them? But that's, you know, that's where they are. And, you know, I found out real quick, of course, like most of you did, that that was just a sandbox there. We get out of the sandbox, we go on to school, don't we? And as we walk day by day, we find out that most religion, organized religion, is a hindrance to the walk that God's got us on. And that's why it's imperative that we read the Word of God for ourselves and ask the Lord to reveal it to us and to open it up to us, right? He gives us everything. Just like Andrew was talking about and Ken was talking about, He gives everything to us. And David, ain't nothing we got that, that God wants. He wants us to change into Him. That's why over in, where is it? I believe that's in, who's the head? Who's the head? That's Jesus, isn't it? I believe it's in Revelation 20.
He's called the chief cornerstone.
Yeah, He is. Listen to this. In Revelation 20, verse 4, I ran across this the other day, and I'd heard David talk on it before, too, so it ain't no revelation that I got. It just came to me today, okay, the other day when I was reading it. That, hey, that's right. This is, and I saw thrones, Revelation 20 and verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. Well, we're those beheaded, aren't we? Because we're the body of Christ, and Jesus is our head. And so our old head's gone. Now we're walking like Jesus, right? For the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. And such as worship not the beast, that's us, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They reigned with him. And then the rest of the dead, listen to this, the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years should finish. This is the first resurrection. That's not the one after the 1,000 years. It's the one he's talking about before that, before it. That's the first resurrection. Then after the 1,000 years, what happened? That's the white throne judgment. How many of you want to be in that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. You don't want to be in that one. That's the bad guys, okay?
Right, right.
Amen. So, that's pretty cool. The way God hides these things in his word, in the word, all through it, you know. You know, he's just got layer upon layer upon layer in his word. I just find it so fascinating, don't y'all? Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Hello.
Brother, I just wanted to say that we were just talking about in Revelation, Jeremy and I were just talking about in Revelation where the blood cries out and they're saying, how much longer? You know, how long until we're avenged, Lord? And remember the answer? Sorry, I'm at a basketball court. It might be a little loud, but remember their answer? It said, not until the rest of the brethren are, you know, martyred and join you. So...
Amen. Yep. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That kind of goes with the beheading there, just saying.
Yep, it does. It sure does. Amen. Anybody got anything else? Comments? Basketball game, huh?
Yeah, my son's playing with his friends.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Sam.
Yeah, I see him. Yeah, I can see him. Yeah,
I like that. Makes it a little loud, though.
Amen. Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about here tonight? Anybody know when we go? When are we resurrected out of here? When do they call it raptured out of here?
Last trump, right?
Which one?
Uh-oh.
No, you're right. Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye would have. Which one? You know? I think they're talked about two or three different last trumps, but there's only one last trump. There's only one.
I didn't have an answer after that. I was just going to mute it and hope somebody else would take my spot. So while everybody stared at me, it wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, if you think about it, it's silly to say there's two last Trumps when there's only one last Trump. There's only one last Trump.
If it's last, how can there be another?
Actually, really, you know. And I like the way that David explains that. Does anybody know how David explains where the rapture is?
You got to walk around the city 7 times first.
Come on now. You're getting close. You're getting in there. You're getting in there. And what do you do when you're walking around that city?
Well, you're at the end, you shout, and then the trumpets are blasted.
How many times?
Well, 7.
Okay. And times, right? 7 times?
Yeah.
Right. That's the 7 trumps of tribulation right there.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's got to be the last one because there's 7 of them.
That's right. Absolutely. There's 7 of them. And then come at the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, than they that are Christ at his coming. And if you'll notice, after Christ's resurrection there's only one more resurrection, only one more. They that are at, that are Christ at his coming, that's one. Then cometh the end, it says. And when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he hath put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is what? Is death. And so, after that enemy is gone, we're out of here. Isn't that right? We're out of here. Not before the tribulation, not during the middle of the tribulation, but at the end of tribulation. The last enemy that should be abolished is death. That's the resurrection and the rapture, which abolishes death, are at the very end. When God taking care of all that old rebellious stuff, right?
Well, when the last resurrection happens and death is abolished, that's because that's the final cut right there, right? That's those that are going to be alive and remain with the Lord.
Yeah, they're going up to meet the Lord. That's the second to the last resurrection. That's the last resurrection of the saints. But then there's one more resurrection after that, and that's the unholy ones 1,000 years later.
Well, I guess that's an interesting conversation here we got here to think about it. You're talking about death, no more reigning, but that's just for the saints, correct? Because if there's going to be another 1,000 years after that, and we know... Now, we've talked about this briefly, that this last 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, there's going to be people on the earth, but they're not going to be part of the salvation plan?
That's right. We just read when how many more, the resurrection of the saints, there's only one more of those left, right?
Okay. And that 1,000 years, now, do those people die?
I'm sure they do, yeah.
But they don't necessarily die. They just go right in and they're going to be, after the 1,000 years, they go into judgment, basically.
After the 1,000-year reign, what God's doing, and I've heard David say this too, what God's doing is showing us how evil men is. They can live with God and under a theocracy that God has provided for them. There's no wars, there's nothing. It's sheer bliss for 1,000 years. And then when he turns Satan loose, they immediately take up with him. After living with God and under God's reign for 1,000 years, he shows us that man's heart is continually wicked. Every one of them is going to go, you know, to the white throne judgment, which sends them down to perdition or hell. And that's, you know, when I first got to thinking about that and I saw that, I said, ain't nobody going to be saved out of that bunch. Nobody, because of what happens at the end of the 7-year tribulations. We're raptured out of here. God's people are raptured out of here.
I've got a question, Michael.
Yes, sir. Your mic is messing up.
I mean, that's children. Okay, it's going to be children born during your reign. No?
Your audio messed up. I'm sorry. I couldn't understand a word you said.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was asking if there's children going to be born in the millennium. I think that's what he's saying.
But I'm sure there will be.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be. But don't ask me. Ask God, business.
I know. I was thinking, just a child during that time, you know, and they weren't. Are they going to be saved?
None of
them, I think.
All the natural people that are going to be on Earth during the 1,000-year millennial reign will not be saved simply because the rapture of the saints has already taken place.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But then I thought, what about an infant, say, you know, that was born and died? And I thought, well, I don't know.
In the Word of God, it doesn't hold any, it doesn't say anything about anybody being saved after the rapture of the saints. So,
right.
There's no death then.
That may not be. I don't know.
Maybe not.
There is no death. People just live through 1,000 years.
Maybe so.
That's a good answer.
And, maybe so.
I'm kind of wondering. I guess the Democratic Party is going to be around for a while.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, you know, we've already prayed against them. God fixed and scattered that bunch. Well, matter of fact, we prayed diarrhea on the whole bunch this morning. They wouldn't show up for the vote. But anyway, no, you know, and it's an interesting question. And it's something that you have to go by the scriptures. And the scriptures say there's one more resurrection of the saints, and that's it. And after that, then there's the white throne judgment.
That's the loss. I believe that.
Yeah.
But I just had the question, and I just had to ask.
Yeah. Well, I went through the same thing with David, so don't feel bad, I'll tell you. Because I said, what about this? Or what about that? He said, it says right here. Right there. You know? And so we have to go by what the scriptures say. Sometimes our thinking gets in the way. I know I've had a few friends that quit being my friends, you know, when the truth comes out. We have to make sure that the Word of God is more important to us than what we think, you know. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just wondering, since Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years, right? Where will the redeemed be in that new city, right? Will they not be sent out to serve these people who are not in the first resurrection? Wouldn't they make some petitions of these people who are walking among them, who are God's redeemed, and they would serve them in accordance to what they asked for?
It is a theocracy type of government, and God's people reign over it by doing what God tells them to do. You know, they got a straight line to God at that time.
But you see, they'll be living in blessing, those people. They'll be getting everything they want.
Mm-hmm.
So would they make a petition towards some of these redeemed people who are saved and in their new body, and these people would grant them their wish, grant them their favor, you know? Mm-hmm. In other words, the ones who are in the first resurrection, because they are in Christ and they have their new power and their new fullness, their new resurrected body, wouldn't they be used to perhaps serve these people in that manner to see that they will not be redeemed even though they have everything?
They won't be redeemed, yeah, but they will be. They'll be shown God's love throughout the whole 1,000 years, if that's what you're asking.
No, I'm asking is if the people who are go through the first resurrection will be used by God to serve these people, their every whim.
It says that they'll be reigning over them. So, you know, I don't know.
So if this guy says, I want a, a grapevine in my backyard during that millennium, and one of the gods resurrected says, okay, we'll give you a good grapevine here. And
I don't know. I don't know. I'll ask God when I get up there and find out. I think what will happen is that we're going to serve them in a way that's full of love and all of that, because we know what's going to happen at the end. Because when Satan's loose, they're all going to turn against God. Every last one of them is going to turn against God. That's what the word says. They come against God's people. But how many of you know that it's a lost battle?
Yeah, well, the great fire.
Yeah. Amen. So as far as what goes on during that period of time, all it says is that they reign over them. So, and I'm sure it's going to be with the love of God, like you're talking about. If they need something, they'll have it, you know. It's going to be a good time for them for a while until the devil is turned loose and it goes into their hearts. And
yeah, but they're not going to have a born again spirit, I imagine.
Nope. No, but they'll know the love of Christ to its fullest.
I know that we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to survive, you know, to be what we are today, and that newness of spirit, and to have that newness of life. I can't see how anybody could walk that walk without that, you know, anointing. It's not possible.
Well, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is essential to get through the tribulation. If you don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you ain't going to make it. It's just not possible, because that's the overcoming power that God gives us to walk this life that he wants us to walk. The Holy Spirit is the one that leads us and guides us. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, that's the difference in life and death. And these denominations that have said, well, I got the Holy Spirit when I, when you, well, I lost my train of thought there when I saw the chat going on down there.
A lot of them think they get the Holy Spirit on baptism, infant baptism.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't get it. Well, even when you're saved, I think the Baptists think you're going to get all you're going to get right there when you get saved. And of course, that's not what the word teaches. All you got to do is read Acts. Acts tells us, you know, that there's a separate baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, but anyway, the Holy Spirit is essential to make it through tribulation. So if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to seek that with all your heart. Okay, Calvin, go ahead and try to talk, buddy. If you're trying to talk, we can't hear you, brother. There's no audio. You go ahead and keep working on that. Yeah, nothing. There's nothing there. But anyway.
I'm sorry, Michael. It doesn't look like his audio is even joined. If he could hit the join audio, I don't know if somebody has a way to reach him, because he probably can't hear us.
Type that out to him, Matt, on the chat thing. Okay, let's go on here. Any more questions on the end time stuff? This is good stuff. I like to talk about end times. I don't know a whole lot, but I do like to talk about it.
Yeah, Michael, I do have something. There's going to be, is there not going to be sacrifice? Is there not going to be sacrifices during the millennium?
No. No, there will not be sacrifices. As a matter of fact, there's not going to be any sacrifices at any time between now and when Jesus comes back. I don't care what the Baptists say. If you have any questions on what's going to happen, because if you remember in Isaiah chapter 1, I believe it is, he says, I don't like that stuff. I don't like it, sacrifice and stuff. That's abomination to me. Said, you people wouldn't keep the first set of rules. Now I've given you another set of rules. Why would I want to go back to that, you know? He left when the Lord left the temple the first time and split the veil right down the middle from the top to the bottom. He left and he ain't going back to no temple. That temple is gone. Makes no difference what they say. Well, there's got to be another temple. None of that. David explains all of that in Hidden Manna and also in, I'm trying to think of the name of the other one, Beloved Spiritual Israel. And it's the temple's not going to be built. There's also, if you want to talk about the Antichrist, we can. Does anybody not know that the Antichrist is already here? And the Antichrist is the Antichrist spirit that's on man in the world. That's what the Antichrist spirit is. It's not going to be some super brained up guy that's going to come up here and rule the world. The Antichrist spirit is already ruling the world. And so now there's going to be, looks like as far as the end time world rulers, there's going to be a 10 nation federation, it looks like, according to what Daniel was telling us. So I don't know. All of that stuff, the Antichrist, the two witnesses, are all corporate entities. And corporate entities means that's a whole bunch of people, individuals, as one body. The Antichrist spirit is each individual that's not following Christ. That's an Antichrist spirit. The two witnesses are, remember what Jesus told them? He said, I want you to go out two by two. Now, at these end times, it's not going to be two witnesses over in Jerusalem caged up like he got it in Left Behind series that are speaking out judgment against the world. No, it's going to be a bunch of two witnesses all over the world doing the same thing, witnessing for Christ. It's a bunch of them all going out. And not only that, if you can think of anything else, it's all corporately. I'm trying to think of another instance. All of that stuff. I don't know. Somebody got a question. If somebody gave me a specific question, I could probably help a little bit with it. I've been over the Hidden Manna quite a number of times, and I've studied it pretty good a few years ago in depth. And I know a little bit about it, not just everything, but I know a little bit about it.
I have a question, Michael.
Okay, Marla.
Is the White Throne Judgment after the millennium?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the last resurrection of the lost. That's the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, the White Throne Judgment. That's where they go up there and get kicked out. And the judgment seat of Christ is where we go. The saints go up, and they see. That's when he comes. He tells us. He says, "Ooh, look at you! Come on up here, boy. Come on inside. Come on in here. I got something for you. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome."
So I guess that somehow I was thinking that that's the same time when we get our rewards. Is that God's people get their rewards? Is that not right?
I think the rewards come at the resurrection, doesn't it? I don't know. Now, that's a good question. It's a good question. Maybe
I've got a question, Michael.
Well, let's go ahead and try to answer that one, see if we can get that one in.
My understanding was the rewards come at the first resurrection for the saints.
Yeah.
It's the beam of seat judgment. There's two judgments there. The first judgment is not really a judgment. It's rewards for the saints, and then the millennial reign, and then the White Throne Judgment after that for the ones that aren't part of the kingdom of God.
Okay. That's when you're going to get your crown or not. But you know, it's all good. If you're going in that first one, it's all good, brother. It's all good. The worst place in heaven is a whole lot better than the best place in hell, I'm going to tell you. I'd like to say one thing. There are millions of ways to get to hell. There ain't but one way to get to heaven. Just one. There's a million roads to hell, but there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the fruit of Jesus. All right, somebody else had a question?
Yeah, I had one.
Okay.
When the lost, when they die right now, they don't go to hell right now, right? They go to Hades in the holding pen until the last judgment. Is that right?
I don't know.
I don't know who either.
All I know is I don't want to be in that particular position right there.
I like the hard questions, but I don't have the answer.
What you got, Marlon?
I think I remember David saying that holding was only in the Old Testament, if I remember right, but that is no longer now.
Well,
with the rich man, you know, the rich man was in a different end, you know, and I was wondering if that was still in effect. I know the lad where Lazarus was in paradise, they went with Christ, but the rest of them, I don't know. So,
well, yeah, they're in hell.
They're in hell, but at the end, if I'm not mistaken, all of those people go in the lake of fire, don't they, or do they not?
Yeah, they do. But I wondered if they had a temporary holding pen that's bad, but not as bad as hell. You know what I mean?
I think they're in torment now. There's that one website called Divine Revelation, and it's got pretty descriptive things that are happening in hell right now with people that are in there. People, and we've had people have died and experienced that and experienced heaven.
And right.
Really good idea what's going on right now. If you go there, there's a lot of testimonies.
There's like six or seven. You're talking about Mary Catherine Baxter, aren't you? Divine Revelations.
Bill Weiss.
No, there's that website called Divine Revelations, and that's got a lot of people on there with different testimonies. And I'll look it up. I've got.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, I don't care what they got down there. I ain't going. I'm gonna hang with my Jesus. I'm not sure, Ken, what happens when the lost leave here. I know they're going to a bad place.
Yeah.
Well, Divine Revelations, that info, you'll see, and there's a lot of testimonies. That's where you had those six youths that went from South America.
Columbia.
Everything.
Yeah. Well, they had some little error in there, too. But anyway, go ahead, Marlon.
If you're not sure, I'd like to have you ask Michael about that, because I've been telling people that holding was only in the Old Testament.
That's
so
right.
I'd really like to know for sure.
Well, I was going to say something about that. Remember what happened when Christ died on the cross, don't you? When he died on the cross, he went down there and got the old saints from the Old Testament that believed in him and took them up to heaven. And so perdition is no more. There ain't no holding tank anymore as far as that goes. That place, that Old Testament place is gone. It's all hell down there now.
But he didn't take the rich man. And I was just wondering if the rich man went to hell at that time.
He was in hell at that time.
There was a divide.
Yeah, there was a divide, yeah.
Yeah. No, he was in hell at that time. Remember, he said, can you send Lazarus over here to dip his hand in some water and bring it over here so I could get a drink? Well, it was hot over there. It was hot and dry. So, no, he was in hell at the time. And as far as... Huh?
I wasn't sure if it was the hell or just a very bad holding pen, you know,
format.
What's the difference? I'm just asking.
Probably not much.
I don't want to go there. I don't know. I think when Christ went down there, hell was hell and heaven was heaven. And that's pretty much the way I believe anyway.
I found it interesting that at the time that they called that Abraham's bosom, but they also referred to that as paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know where the Catholic Church got that holding pen stuff, that perdition.
Second Maccabees chapter 14, I've been looking it over. They just ran with something that's not in the scriptures.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not many Catholics from where I'm from. So I don't know a whole lot about the Catholic religion.
Michael?
Yeah.
I was raised Catholic, and we were taught. Thank you. We were taught when you die, you go to a place called purgatory.
Purgatory, that's it.
Purgatory, yeah. Yeah.
Like a ladder going to heaven, and that you can pray. Like, so if I died and you were here, you could pray for me to get to heaven, and every prayer that you gave me would put me a step closer up this ladder to get to heaven.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you can pay money to do that too, can't you?
Yeah, it wasn't free.
I correct myself. That was 2 Maccabees chapter 12, and verses 38 through 46, and it has it in there. And it actually talks about them taking up offerings and giving it to the church to offer for those saints that died because they had idols in their pockets and they were trying to pray them out of their situation because they knew they died with idols. And all the ones that died were the ones that had idols. So they thought they could intercede for them to pray and offer them an offering to get them out at the final resurrection to keep them from going to hell. And that's where this all comes from, purgatory. They take that whole thing and run with that, say that now we can pray for our saints, and they have to give offerings, and we can get them out of the purgatory and get them into heaven.
Well, that'd be the easy way if you could do that, but it ain't working for them good, I don't think. It's not.
Another Jesus, another gospel.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, I don't know a whole lot about the Catholic religion. I know they got a lot of idols. And I also know that God's going to save some people out of the Catholic Church. He's going to save some people out of most of all denominations. Because there's a lot of people in there that don't know any better, you know, and they're hungry for God and they're not getting fed. And boy, when this time comes, when the revival hits, God's going to, he's going to go all over them. The Shekinah glory.
I had a guy just almost demanded of me to know what my denomination was, and I just said, I'm a disciple of Christ. I don't have none.
Absolutely. Yeah, we get that a lot, too. What denomination are you? What church you go to? Yeah. I tell them it's the church of the burning bush out there in Israel somewhere, you know. I give them something. But I tell them, I said, you know, if you just read the Word of God, it doesn't have anything about denominations because denominations is in itself a division. And that word means division. And so God wants us to be all in unity, doesn't he? If he wants us, like we was talking about a while ago, hey, but one head, how are you going to get all them bodies under one head? There's one head and there's one body. That's it. There's not a Baptist body, and there's not a Methodist body, and then there's over here, there's Church of God body, and then the Church of the Burning Bush body, and this one over here, and that. No, it's all under one body. And we're going to see that in the near future. During the tribulation time, God is going to do away with all that mess. Glory to God. He's not going, God's going, Jesus is going to get the glory. Jesus is going to get the glory. It's not going to be UBM Ministries, it's not going to be Kingdom Keys Ministry, it's not going to be this ministry or Benny Hinn Ministry, it's going to be Jesus' ministry. That's what it's going to be, because we all love Jesus. And when you're walking with Jesus, you're not under a denominational flag. You're under Jesus. Who's your head? They always want to know, who's your head, Jesus? No, I mean, who's your head, Jesus? And that just confuses them. That's what God wants. He's going to have us all in unity. One great big body of loving people that's going to bring in this revival and all those people. Amen. All right. Any more questions? It's been good tonight. Been some activity. Y'all want to talk about end times Thursday night?
Can I bring up one more thing?
Yeah.
I am kind of curious because what I'm watching for is where we are today. I'm watching for these signs and times. And today I was also listening a little bit to Hidden Manna because I have to listen a lot of it. And here we got David was saying, and it, you know, it kind of lightens me up and tells me more too. That even though, let's say for instance, it starts, it doesn't necessarily mean people are, he was saying, are under the impression we're going to have 3.5 years of quiet times and then 3.5 years of the saints being persecuted. But he says that's not true. He said the first 3.5 years, the saints may not be going through persecution, but the world's going to be seeing all sorts of problems. And with that happening, we're not necessarily going to be seeing peaceful times. We're just not going to be under persecution for the 3.5 years of churches. And I mean, it's going to be getting us ready for these times. But that's an eye-opener, too, because everybody's thinking, well, it's going to be kind of peaceful. No, it's not. It's not going to be peaceful. It's going to be very trying times for the world this whole 7 years.
Well, I can tell you this much. The first two trumpets going to take care of a lot of folks. It's going to wipe out a bunch of folks. I've got it written down in my Bible over there how many millions it is that's going to die the first two trumpets, first two seals. And they all work in parallel. I mean, they work together. Those first two trumpets work together. And then the third one, as more people die, it's going, when it starts, when this thing starts, here's the next great thing that's going to happen is earthquakes and the anointing of the man child and the man child taking the bride into the tribulation. That's the way it works. It's going to be the earthquakes and the anointing of the man child happening at the same time, same period of time. And then the man child taking the bride into the tribulation.
So we might actually still see saints dying in these times. It's just not, they're not going to be under the persecution yet from the world until that last 3.5 years. There still might be death even for the saints during this.
The saints are dying right now all over the world except for here. You know, over in China and Russia. Some of those other countries over the, some of those Asian countries there, they're killing Christians wholesale over there. In the Middle East, they're doing the same thing.
Well, I'm so talking about there will be a time on the earth, the world, the system itself turns completely on the saints.
Yep.
Right?
After the mark of the beast.
Yep. Yeah, that's the great tribulation that you're talking about there now. And that's at the middle of the tribulation, after the first 3.5 years. And then the mark comes. That mark is already going to be on those lost people. The mark is already going to be on them. Because they haven't. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I just forgot my question.
That's real important, huh? Okay, well, looks like we're running out of...
Don't laugh, Michael.
I know. All the time. Well, no, it don't. In Jesus' name, I don't forget nothing. I got the mind of steel trap.
Your headphones are too tight.
Okay. All right. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Let's continue this Thursday night any questions on end time stuff, and I'll burn up on it, and y'all do too. We'll have another conversation on end time stuff. It's fascinating. Anybody got any prayer requests before we go? Well, Lord, we just thank you so much for all of these wonderful revelations in your word, Lord. You've told us you've laid it out for. It's just a matter of us searching it out and finding out what's going on. Father, we ask that you give us dreams and visions about the things that are come, warning us what to pray about. You've been doing that, and we thank you for it, Lord. And we're seeing mighty results of that, Father. We're seeing so mighty, wonderful answers to prayer nowadays, nationwide. I mean, it's just astounding that this little old group can pray and believe, and that you change the way nations operate. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to save Donald Trump. You're going to fill him with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to give him wisdom, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you give Mike Pence the words and the wisdom to talk with Donald about you, Lord, that he would understand. I don't know how you're going to save him, but you've already told us in dreams and visions that you're going to do it, and prophecies. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you so much. Lord, you've also told us, I saw one prophecy, that you're going to save Hillary. Lord, what a testimony. My goodness, that's a serial killer there. She would be an awesome testimony to your grace, Lord, and you'd get the glory. And I thank you for doing that, Father. And Obama, too. We've seen one where he was reading Sovereign God out there sitting in a boat. Lord, we just thank you, because I know that you can do it. You can do anything. And I ask, Lord, that you protect us, provide for us, show us your revelations in your word. Lord, open them up to us even more so. And we thank you for it, Lord. Give us some words of knowledge of the things that's coming, Lord. Give us prophecies of the things that's coming. Give us visions and dreams, Father. Show us what you're fixing to do. And we thank you for that. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight, too, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us. Lead us. Guide us. Set a watch before our tongue to speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, saints. God bless you.